Amen. So, you know, one of the things that happens after you share things somewhat frequently is I've become very bad at remembering what I said last time. So I'm not sure if I made fun of Kansas last time I shared, but Kansas is easy to make fun of. I don't know if any of you know it. Most people know Kansas, my home state, as the state that's in the way of Colorado, right? I don't know if any of you guys gone skiing, but it's like, you're like, Western Kansas, there's not a whole lot to see. A bunch of cows that smell terrible, wheat fields, corn fields, more wheat fields, more corn fields, more cows. Like, that's Western Kansas for you. I do feel like that half of the state has kind of ruined the reputation of everything else, where we do have some things that resemble hills. I mean, our highest point is called Mount Sunflower. It's technically a hill. Like, it's not even... There was a little meme that went on Facebook for a while that talked about Kansas is, like, literally flatter than a pancake, topographically. I don't know if any of you have seen that. Literally flatter than a pancake. So... I've gotten a lot of flack for being from Kansas, but you know, one thing Kansas has, it's really the only thing, other than people that I love and cherish and stuff like that. I like the culture, but really only one thing we have is the sunsets. Kansas has some of the best sunsets because there's literally nothing in the way. So there are certain days, where the sky just lights up and it's just orange and sometimes, you know, yellow and sometimes purple and red and fuchsia and all the colors that I don't even know, but my wife knows. And it's incredible. It's incredible. And one such sunset that I remember was driving home. I was driving west into the sunset, and it just lights up. I'm driving home. Now, the thing about those kinds of moments is you don't typically remember them that much. I mean, think about your own life. You're like, how many times have you like driven home and you're like, man, that's an amazing sunset? And then it's like, well, that was pretty, you know. Did you mention it when you get home? No, probably not. Do you remember it? I think I had one recently that I can remember just because it was like 2 weeks ago. I remember one time after my girlfriend broke up with me. I remember one when I came out of a period of depression. And I remember this one. And unfortunately, and this is where it gets a little bit more serious, it was because I was driving home to see my dad for the last time on earth. And so I remember that. And I remembered it also for what we're sharing, because it fits with this passage that we're going to be talking about. See, we want to leave... I think there's a desire in us as believers to leave a legacy, right? To live lives that matter. That's a part of our Christian faith, is we think life does matter. What we do here... as we honor God, we worship God, we share the gospel with our friends, we think that is important. We want to have lives that are significant, like that sunset. And it's usually in those kinds of times where we can see it best. So on that trip, that last conversation, I had a conversation with my dad about what it means to walk in Christ. That was a kind of a typical, that was kind of what we connected with, especially those later years. Like, what are you sharing about, or what are you teaching about with your Bible study? And I would share what I would be doing with a sermon. And so we talked about it, and I asked him, you know, at this point, he had been battling cancer for about 5 years. We knew that he was... not probably going to make it next week or something. And I look at him and I'm like, Dad, you know, you've lived a long life. You've served the Lord and followed him for the last 20 plus 30 years. What does it mean? What would you say it means to walk in Christ? Because I'm about to tell a bunch of college students what it means. And I'd rather say what you would say because I think you have a better idea at this point. And he kind of looked at the wall and kind of like zoned in a little bit, or zoned out, I guess, for me. But And you say, well, you know, it has a lot to do with obedience and a lot to do with listening to the shepherd's voice. And then he fell asleep. Is just towards the end, he just fell asleep. So as I'm sitting there, kind of just watching him, thinking about what he was saying, I was like, you know, that's not only, I think, a really good picture of this passage that we're going to look at, a good summary, I think it was a good picture of what his life was like. One thing I look at as my dad listening to the shepherd's voice is there was a time where he was praying for a maintenance man at a Bible camp. And he was like, yeah, it was one of those weird, unique times where God was like, I hear you praying and you're the answer. And he was like, okay, I guess we'll do that. So he sells his business and decides to, you know, all the financial security and everything that came with that. And he goes and he lives off of donations. But that was just the coolest place to grow up. I didn't know growing up that the fact it was that people were, I just had the coolest people growing up. I thought I was cool, but I had, you know, growing up with the staff, people that loved me, loved the Lord, and got to see that summer after summer was such a wonderful experience. And as far as obedience, he had the stereotypical German farmer work ethic. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that stereotypes, but like up with the dawn, he works all day. His dad actually was a German farmer, so he did that for a long time. And so I grew up with somebody who was very obedient, very much wanted to serve the Lord every day. And I still feel pretty lazy when I think about it, so try to avoid that, because he works so hard and so faithfully. And so what does it mean to walk in Christ? Well, like I said, it has a lot to do with obedience, a lot to do with listening to the shepherd's voice. And Paul's going to talk about a lot of ways in which it kind of works. But I think the way that that works is because it has a lot to do with living faithfully on a day-to-day basis, right? Walking Christ is not like it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's something we do every day, a faithfulness that's, you know, walking in Christ is just a metaphor for living in Christ. So as we go through this passage, and I'll kind of reference my dad at times, but as we go through the passage, I want us to think about like what it means to walk in Christ. And we're going to be using a metaphor, driving Christ. I think it's pretty much the same thing now, right? We don't walk very many places, especially not in Dallas. I don't know if any of you dealt with it. I've had a lot of international friends who haven't had a car, and it's pretty terrible trying to get anywhere. Anyway, so we're going to be driving in Christ, and there's three things we're going to talk about. The first thing is we want to remember where we started, like get back on the road. None of us, we all start in the Christian life focused on Christ. It's only later that we get off track. The second thing is don't read the billboards. The world has so many things that they're offering us as you're driving along, and you know that's very appropriate here in Dallas, even more than in Kansas, right? There's so many billboards, you're just like, oh, never mind, not focus on the road, right? We don't read the billboards. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is to center our focus on Christ, to drive west and chase the sun, like that sunset I saw that night. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Colossians chapter 2, so you can turn there. And we're going to be reading verses 6 through 15 is the passage we'll be studying. But first, I want to talk just about Colossians in general. The book of Colossians is a book written to people who had most things, they were doing okay, right? It's not as harsh as Galatians or Corinthians or any of those books, right? They were doing okay, but they were losing sight of Christ as the preeminent one. And they were kind of treating him as prominent. Like, Christ was still important, right? But Christ was just one of many important things. And so there were too many things that were distracting them from a fully focused life on Christ. And it says the preeminent, not just prominent. You can read the first chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And you see how he is the firstborn of all creation, all him created. It's all these things about Christ. At end of 18, it says, so that he may have come to have first place in everything. Paul in this book is trying to help these people remember that Christ is the number one. He's not only just an important thing, he is the one thing, right? He is the one we follow, we worship. And because of all these extra stuff they would be adding, whether it be from Judaism at times or even pagan kind of things that they weren't adding to salvation, like in Galatians, right? Galatians, they were saying, you need this to save you. But they were just things that they thought were important, like listening to the right music might be an example, or dating the right way. Or I'm trying to think of, like, there's anything that you could look at where there's probably freedom in Christ, and yet it's very easy to just look at it and be like, but if you're a real Christian, you'll do X, Y, and Z, right? And this is how the Colossians were thinking, and they were losing sight of Christ as the most important among, and treating him as just one of, maybe the most important, but not preeminent, not on the level that he should be. And we're getting distracted in many ways. So let's look at what he does in chapter 2, now that we've kind of thought about the book as a whole. So in verse 6, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Paul first starts off by reminding us where we started. See, when we come to know Christ, we don't forget that he's everything, right? You've just admitted that he's the only way for your salvation, right? You've just come to the realization that you're a sinner and you need grace. You need Jesus' sacrifice for your salvation. Everything is about Jesus. Many people, when they first come to know the Lord Jesus, have a time where they're so excited. You're sharing it with everybody. You're talking about it. Jesus is everything to you because he just saved your life. It's only later when we start adding in other things to our life, our church life, maybe organization, it just becomes a little methodical, a little rote in how we're approaching it. We come to church every Sunday, we just get a little bit tired during the sermon. We forget where we started. Yeah, I know. I'm going to fall asleep on my own sermon. If you guys feel tired, I'm with you, right? I'm not saying anything like that. Yeah, exactly. We get a little bit worn down. We forget where we started. If we think of the metaphor of driving, nobody parks in a ditch, right? If you see a car in a ditch, they didn't try to go there, probably. It was probably rain. I just saw a guy wipe out the other day. And just stopped by, and he was like, whoa, this is so exciting and stuff. I don't know what was going on in his head, but he was really excited that he had just wrecked in the ditch. But anyway, it's like nobody does it. They wiped out on the rain, right? Or there's snow or ice or something like that. And so if we think back on our stuff, we started focused on Christ. It's only later that we get distracted by these other things. It's only later that we kind of get off track. And so remember where you started. Remember the excitement. Remember the one that saved you. Remember that moment of salvation. If you want to follow Christ in the daily methodical thing, you have to remember that, because otherwise it does get repetitive. We lose sight of Christ. We got to continually be reminded of the salvation. That's why things like breaking of bread and communion, right, can be so important and vital to a life. Because you're remembering where you started. You're remembering the one who saved you. That he is preeminent, not just prominent. There's three illustrations he uses to help us kind of think through that as well. In verse 7, it says, having firmly been rooted in him. It's agricultural, right? He's the thing that you drew life from. He's the thing that we're anchored by, right? We were rooted in Christ. The next thing, having been built up in him. We think about that time in our life. He was the one you grew through, right? It was all about coming to know Christ, learning more about Christ and his word and in the fellowship of believers. You know, and then having been established in your faith, there's a legal image, right? That he's the one that's on the paperwork, right? He signed off. He's the one that it made it official. Remember that. Remember where you started. You didn't park in a ditch when you're trying to focus on Christ. The next verse talks about billboards. So verse 8 says, See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. Don't read the billboards. And I'm going to kind of summarize it in two different ways, because there's kind of two different ways this pre-Gnostic life kind of showed itself. One is, it says kind of the body is bad, right? So the body is not anything, right? So live it up. And then the other side, it's like the body is bad, so make sure you're being spiritual and following all these rules. So in general, like in life, there's really, generally, again, I'm oversimplifying, there's really two ways to get off track, right? You either get too stuck on the concept of grace that you forget what God has called us to do and the importance of following Him, or you get too caught in a form of following God, obedience, that you start making it all about the rules. And so in the same way, we might follow. Again, it's not about salvation in this case. It's just adding extra stuff, right? It's not like the Galatians, but adding extra stuff. So we can look at the two billboards. Like one where it says freedom, right? Where we're all about grace, right? But when freedom to follow Christ becomes freedom to sin, it's not freedom anymore, right? We have freedom from sin. We have freedom because of what Christ sacrificed. We have no fear of judgment. There's no condemnation, as Romans 8 says. But it's not freedom to sin. He gives us freedom from sin. And if you look at the other billboard, right? You might say security, right? The safe way to go. Because it's really easy when you want to follow God, you want to be faithful to God, to just keep pulling that fence a little bit further back. And the argument's always like, we don't want to be anywhere close to the line. But to see, when we pull the fence back away so far, when we're looking at the fence, we're not looking at Christ, right? Because even though it is good to be above reproach and to be safe, right? When it's just about that and not about Christ, it's not about the freedom in Christ to follow Him, you're still looking at the fence. You're still looking at the line. You're not centered on Christ. You're reading the billboards. And you get off. Because then it's just about following rules. And the rules didn't save you. And the rules won't keep you on track. Christ will. The third thing we're going to talk about is in verses 9 through 15. Because I think at this point, Paul really hits something on the head. He is so excited. Because we think about it, like, where did you start? You started on the road, right? Remember where you started. Don't read the billboards. And then this is where Paul, I think, gets really excited. I just imagine him getting really excited because it just kind of spews out all these different things about God, right? Because in Him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him, you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And you were buried with Him through death, right? And you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And He has taken away those decrees against you, which were hostile toward you. He's taken them out of the way, and He has nailed them to the cross. And He's made a public display of the spirits, having triumphed over them through Christ. That wasn't perfect, but that's what I imagine him as he's writing. He's just like, and this is about Christ, and this is the reason why Christ should be first, and this is the reason why he's Christ first, and this is why. And what I imagine is exactly that drive in Kansas, driving west into a sunset. And I just see Paul spewing out colors all over about all the things that reasons why we should worship the Savior, why we should be focused on Christ, centered on Him. Because He is above all. Because He does deserve first place in everything. He is preeminent, not just one of the important things in life. He is the important thing in life. And that's what we want to remember when we want to walk in Christ. And we remember that through remembering where we started, not reading the world's billboards, right? and centering our gaze on Christ and driving west after him. As I was driving to the sunset, I had this really kind of odd desire to drive as fast as I could to keep that sunset in gaze as long as I could. And I realized that the car I drove, a light blue 91 Toyota Camry, would not go that fast. And there are also oceans that would inhibit this desire, even if it could go that fast. So maybe I get in a jet. I don't know. But that idea, that desire of following Christ, of chasing that sunset as fast as I can, day after day after day. And as I was sitting there thinking about my dad's life and the ways that I thought he exemplified some of these things I wanted to share with when I was first sharing this message. You know, I thought about his life and I thought of it in the same vein as somebody who woke up with the dawn, right? Followed the sun faithfully throughout the day, after day, after day. And that at the end of his life, it was simply him catching up to that sunset. It was simply him catching up to the thing that he loved and that he instilled in us day after day after day. There are so many things I could share about my dad, and I have at different times. One thing I think is particularly cool is that my dad served, but he also had a lot of passion for missions and preaching, right? He did a lot of service. And all three, but he only really had time for one, right? He didn't get to preach a lot because he was too good at fixing all the cars. He was too good at fixing all the buildings and everything from electrical to carpentry to welding to cars. And so he didn't get a lot of chance, but I get a chance to do things like that at times. You know, and he didn't get a chance to go on all the mission fields like when he went and he served in Mexico for several months. He went on this mission trip, he learned Spanish for 2 years, and when he gets on the mission trip, every single one of their cars broke down. Like, he spent the entire time fixing cars after spending 2 years learning Spanish just so he could go to Mexico to share the gospel. And that was just kind of the story of his life, right? But now, my sister does all sorts of cross-cultural ministry. And my brother, he fixes cars. So we got all the three bases. But the way that his passions kind of played out in his kids is just a small picture of what he did. And he was not perfect. And there's so many ways which we look at these moments and we can say, you know, he was just as flawed as any one of us. But see, that's the thing about sunsets or funerals. You remember the things that happened at the moment. You remember the aspects of their life that inspire you. And you think about your own life and you think about Christ. And that's where we want to be. That's where it'd be. So I don't mind, you know, bragging on my dad a little bit, because at the end of the day, what I really am bragging on is Christ and his work in a very flawed person. And that's what we all are. We look at our lives, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think of myself as particularly significant, right? I probably wouldn't be the best sunset in the world. I would probably be the one that gets forgotten a couple weeks later. But when I think about following Christ and the desire to leave a legacy, a desire to live a life worth living, you know, I don't know. I think in heaven we're going to have a lot of conversations with just everyday people. If you've read C.S. Lewis, he has The Great Divorce. There's this one character in it who has this great procession following her in this heaven-like area. And the protagonist asks, you know, who is she? And it's like, oh, nobody knew her on earth. She was the wife of a drunk. But she lived faithfully for the Lord every single day. And that's why she's being honored in that way. when we want to be a person who follows in Christ, it's not about the big events. You know, I don't think we're going to just talk about the Reformation all the time or all the things in church history that we talk about that were so significant and did so much. I think we're going to talk about everyday people. People who served God faithfully, woke up with the dawn, found the sun in the horizon, and drove west after it. That's my hope for my life, and that's my hope for all of us here, is a simple life focused on Christ, very imperfect people, imperfectly following God, but God using it perfectly for His glory. So we're going to play a song now that I wrote about this. My friend recorded it, and I'm really glad he did because his voice is really good. But it's just a time for us to reflect on it because I think this is something. Think about your own life. Think about your own sunsets. Think about where you're at, how the Lord might want to use you in maybe a way that seems super insignificant this week. But I promise you, it's in that journey, it's in that excitement, that the decision to follow Christ, that you're going to find sunset after sunset worth remembering. And that's what we're going to look for. Eventually. That's what we're looking for. So just as a reminder for what we're going over as we wait for that. Remember what the 3 points, Colossians 6-7, right? Remember where you started, right? We started on the road. Don't read the billboards. There's so many things that can distract you from this focus on Christ, the sunset, right? You don't live in Kansas, sorry. There's some other things maybe to see. And then just continue to drive west and chase the sun and to follow Christ day after day after day. And in that decision, I think, is the life that I hope to live in, and I think is going to be one we'll remember forever in eternity. Is it rolling? We got it? No worries. Oh, thank you.
Of your glory while driving through this life, the sky was awake with your light. Could I be here forever, centered on your beauty, to never lose sight of your light? My Father say, drive west, chase the sun, don't you give up. Drive west, the horizon is before you. Drive west, chase the sun, let it lead you. spoken to me. Obey the king, listen to his voice. Day after day, he chased the sun, and on that day, he caught up. I hear my father's voice call to me. Drive the west, chase the sun. Don't you give up. Drive west, the horizon is before you. Drive west, chase the sun. Let it lead you on and on. Let it lead you.
Are we going to be singing another song, or? I don't think so. No. Okay. I'll just dismiss you then with this word from Colossians 1, which I referenced. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Amen.